A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Exult, exult with her, all you that were mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breast. For thus says the Lord, Lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. In Jerusalem you shall find your comfort. When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. The word of the Lord. Today's first reading from Isaiah, with its response, puts me in the mood to celebrate. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her. Exult, exult with her, urges the prophet. Sing joyfully to God all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name, responds the psalmist. This mood of celebration is certainly fitting for us in the United States, who are just concluding the 4th of July weekend. On this date, we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence, which we recognize as the birthday of our nation. We especially recognize the freedoms guaranteed by our Constitution and its Bill of Rights, although these were not adopted until a later date. We rejoice in our freedoms of speech, religion, and the right to bear arms. We remember later additions to that bill that gave former slaves and then women the right to vote. For these rights and many others that we have and many others still struggle for, we give thanks. Yet there are, and always have been, many reasons for not feeling celebrative on this day. In my childhood, the 4th of July celebrations were overshadowed by the Second World War and the threat of totalitarianism. Later, it was the Cold War with the threat of nuclear annihilation. Today, it is the War on Terror and the threat of losing our freedoms to fundamentalist followers of Islam, bent on destroying Western culture. On the other hand, we have recently learned that in the name of security, our government has been secretly collecting information about the communication of its own citizens. This, for many citizens, is an infringement on their right to privacy. Aside from issues associated with terrorism, there is the inability of our government to overcome partisan politics in addressing pressing national and international problems like immigration reform, medical care, the right to life, and continuing crime and starvation in many parts of the world. In trying to attain a spirit of rejoicing in these troubled times, it helps me to recall the setting in which Isaiah wrote the words we have just heard. He was writing to a dispirited people who had returned from exile in Babylon to find their lands untended or taken over by others, their cities in ruins, and their temple destroyed. Efforts to restore the old ways were very slow-moving, and some found little reason to rebuild the temple with its costly sacrifices. Yet in the midst of turmoil from within and continuing threats from without, Isaiah brought a message of rejoicing, not because all was well, but because their God had shown himself faithful time and time again in their remembered past. He goes so far as to picture God's continued care for them to the love of a nursing mother for her child. He is confident that the Lord's power shall be known to his servants. In the same spirit, Paul encourages the wavering faith of his Galatian converts by speaking of the new creation of the God of Israel for those who place their trust in Jesus, his Son. Finally, we are reminded in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus assured his disciples that the laborer deserves his payment, even as he told them to go out and cure the sick and tell them, "The kingdom of God is at hand for you." As we confront the discouraging prospects of our own time and place, we need to remember that the source of Christian hope has never been euphoric anticipation that our efforts to achieve peace and prosperity are finally paying off. World history can only tell us that the rosy pictures we tend to paint for ourselves at the beginning of new regimes, political or religious, always fail to fulfill their promise. This is not necessarily because of ill will on the part of leaders. It is rather due to constantly new and unforeseen problems that arise in every age. This is one way to think of original sin. Because humankind has consistently ignored God's plan for us, we are constantly confronted with the problematic results of doing things our own way. The continuing message of those who preach in the name of Jesus Christ must be, "Return to the way of the Lord." That way, he has shown us in his complete gift of self for us. When we heed his voice and strive to live for others, not ourselves, the kingdom he commissions us to preach will be a coming reality. We do honor those who give themselves completely for others, like those who die for their country, or to save the lives of their neighbors, as did the 19 firefighters in Arizona last week. When words of honor turn into acts of imitation, the kingdom will come.